Tom Casper is a master gardener and the president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners Tuesday mornings on Northland Morning. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Chris?
Quite well, thanks. It's really actually surprisingly cool for me. August is, I think of it so much as being sort of that dog days oppressive heat. This week has been so lovely for me because I hate the extreme heat. So this has been great.
Yeah, it's really been pretty ideal conditions for human consumption and plant consumption as well. So,
but the rain has kind of tapered off. We had, after those weeks where it seemed like it was raining every 3 or 4 days, it seems like it's been a little less common now.
Yeah, a little drying out, and that for the most part isn't hurting anything, although it would be nice here, I know, for folks who enjoy a nice green lawn during the summer. It may becoming a bit more challenging as it dries out. But it sounds like there's rain in the forecast coming up. So.
Mm-hmm. Is August generally a drier month? Is that what I'm thinking?
Or? Yeah. It's one of our drier months. So, we should, pretty normal to see things start to dry out a little bit. But certainly August is also one of the not only a little bit drier month, but also one of our, for gardeners, one of the favorite times in the month, because really a lot of the fruits, so to speak, of our labor are really coming into their own, whether it's our flowers that are blooming gloriously, our summer flowers, or our containers that we put together in the spring when it might have been cool out or rainy or whatever, mm-hmm. are full now and looking outstanding. Or our vegetable gardens are producing their bounty. So I know folks are already harvesting tomatoes and carrots and, of course, radishes and spinach a while ago, and beans mm-hmm. are in full swing, and early potatoes. And so all those things that we were doing back in May and early June in our garden are now really coming to fruition and giving us that opportunity to enjoy.
You know, I've noticed too that the apple trees in my neighborhood are starting to show signs of red on the fruit, just getting that little pink blush starting to come in on them. So that's yep. something to look forward to as well. And actually, I have a question. Do you know, I was wondering the other day, you know, apples that seem a little smaller than I'd like to see them. If you water, I mean, is it really that simple? If you water the tree, will the apples swell? Will they become larger by the time it's time to harvest them?
Yes. Yeah. And, well, you know, and it's going to depend a bit on the variety, of course. Apples have different sizes depending on the variety. So, but generally, I mean, they still really have about 6 weeks left of growing because we usually don't start harvesting apples here till mid-September to later parts of September. So there's still plenty of time, and certainly watering, because they're about 98% water. Mm-hmm. Any additional watering that you can give them within reason. I mean, obviously don't want to drown the tree.
Drown the tree, yeah.
Giving them an extra drink of water certainly is going to bear the fruit of your labor. So,
yeah.
How was that? That was pretty good.
not bad. Yeah. So, do you need to? Sorry, I have to chuckle. Do you need to water in the circumference of the reach of the branches like other plants? Would you really need to sort of think of it as getting every root, or is it just around the trunk? Where's the best place to spread that water for the tree?
Yeah, certainly, depending on the size of the tree, close to the drip line of the tree would be best. And so, you know, if you've got an 8-foot branch span on your apple tree, maybe getting that water out in that 6 to 8 foot range. 4 to 6 foot is probably good too, but not right up next to the trunk. There's really little to no root activity near the trunk of the tree once they've become established. Those roots are out into the soil looking for nutrients and moisture and things like that. So
I realize that the past few weeks, the conversations with you have been talking about the saturated soil and the trees that have come down. It almost seems counterintuitive to want to water a tree right now. But
a lot of folks have experienced trees coming down, and certainly moisture or excessive moisture played a part in that. But that water moves through the soil and is evaporated or onto other things. So certainly things that we're looking to that want to bear or something for us, like an apple tree. We want to get some additional water to as it dries out. And really, even seeing that with our vegetables, we had such a long period of time where folks didn't have to water their vegetable gardens at all because the moisture was so timely. Mm-hmm. But now really as that the fruit or the vegetable is setting and getting close to maturity, timely water is very critical. And that people will see that, especially in tomatoes, where if your timing is erratic, you end up with tomatoes that are falling off or tomatoes that the bottoms are rotting out on, things like that. So if we do continue in this dry spell, making sure that, and especially if they're in containers, making sure that they're getting daily water in containers, but certainly every 3 days in the garden is ideal. So,
and weeds, of course, are a year-round problem for gardeners, trying to keep your plants separated from that kind of thing. But do weeds matter as much now? I realize when the plants are smaller, the weeds can crowd them out, can shadow them out. When the tomato plant is this tall, if there's some weeds down in the soil next to it, are we as concerned about them at this point in the summer?
I would recommend for folks, if they have the ability, to always keep on top of the weeds, because it's surprisingly when they're tiny little weeds and we don't think a lot of them, and then all of a sudden they're 2.5 foot tall weeds.
Yes.
Then we're like, where did that come from? But yeah, they're always going to be in competition with those plants, whether it's for nutrients in the soil or moisture in the soil, or if they get too big, even for sunlight. So keeping those under control. And I have a theory about weeds. I think weeds are way smarter than we think they are, because they oftentimes will grow or mimic plants near them. So you don't even know it's a weed as you're passing by till you look really closely.
Huh.
And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, that's a 4 foot weed. I thought that was a flower. So anyway,
I'd like to see an apple tree sized weed. That'll be a good
one. Well, I had a thistle in my yard that was over 8 feet tall before I was like, that doesn't look right.
That's not an asparagus plant. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. They're smarter than we think. They're kind of like crows. They're surprisingly intelligent.
Yes, the evolution of weeds.
There you go. We'll have Planet of the Weeds someday. These, the
yeah,
weeds
there that, you that go. You'll see.
That's right. Well, Tom, thanks so much. We appreciate it this morning. It's a good
sounds
tip,
great,
especially
Chris.
As the summer winds up. It's good to keep on top of those gardens, so thanks for the tips.
Sounds great. You have a good day.
Take care. Tom Casper, Master Gardener and the President of the Duluth Garden Flower Society, and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, Tuesday mornings on Northland Morning.